Good morning. Welcome to each one here this morning. What a blessing. The treasure chest was opened up this morning, and the treasure was mine. God's word is the treasure chest, and we can open it up and receive it, and for instructions, for reproof, for every area of life. Just a brief story in the beginning. So in France, in 1685, nearly 100 years before the United States declared its independence from Great Britain, there was a family in France that baked the family Bible in a loaf of bread, which was Abraham and Sarah Lefevre. The Lefevre family was a French Protestant in the 16th and 17th centuries. They had enjoyed about 87 years of freedom under the edict that was signed by the king in 1597, which permitted them to hold services and worship the way they pleased. But then, on October 18, 1685, Catholic King Louis XIV revoked the edict, and severe persecution ensued. No one was allowed to read God's word anymore. No one was allowed to meet or even own a volume of the Holy Scripture. The Protestants were no longer allowed to baptize or to teach their children anymore. And they were also forbidden to go to different country. Their churches and records were destroyed. Their property was confiscated. The Lefevre lived in just across the Rhine River from Germany. And the family Bible was a Geneva Bible, published in Switzerland in 1608. It was smaller and a great improvement over the previous volumes of the Tyndale version which preceded it. The family placed great value on the forbidden Bible and did not want it to fall in the hands of those that wanted to destroy it. So again, the Word of God, the Bible, is it precious to us? Do we go to whatever means to protect it? Do we go to whatever means to mine the treasure that are found therein? Abraham and Sarah knew it was just a matter of time before their home would be searched and they would be arrested for their faith or even executed. How could they protect the family Bible? Where could they hide it so the soldiers wouldn't find it? Sarah must have been a woman of great courage. Perhaps the inspiration came to her one day as she baked bread for the family. If she baked the loaf large enough to contain the Bible, no one would think to look inside the loaf of bread, even if it sat in plain sight. So just imagine with me, the Bible here, but the Geneva Bible was 9.5 inches long, 6.5 inches wide, and 4.5 inches thick. So it would have taken a pretty large loaf of bread to conceal the Bible in the midst. So after kneading the dough to perfection, Sarah wrapped the sacred book to protect it from the heat and tucked it in the center. She allowed the dough to rise and placed it in the oven to bake, watching carefully to make sure the loaf was not overdone. Then she withdrew it from the oven and set the golden loaf on the table to cool. Abraham gathered their six children around the table and admonished them to guard the Bible carefully. If the worst should happen, they were instructed to grab the loaf of bread with the Bible inside and run to the nearby home of Daniel and Marie Fury, their Protestant friends. Then apparently, 16-year-old Isaac wasn't there when the soldiers invaded the Lefevre home and slaughtered the rest of the family. When Isaac came home, he discovered their bodies. And the loaf of bread containing the Bible was still on the shelf. Then on the table, and he grabbed it and ran swiftly to the neighbors, to the home of their palace and friends. Then on the way, the soldier stopped him and grabbed the loaf from his hand. Isaac's heart beat so fast he feared the man would see it pounding and become suspicious. Rather hefty loaf, a heavy loaf you have here, lad. The man hefted it, then flung it back to Isaac's arms. Here, take it back. It feels much too dirty for me. Then Isaac hurried the loaf and hastened to the Faree house. He knocked quickly with a prearranged signal, two loud taps and a soft one. The door opened slowly, and Daniel peered in the darkness. Seeing Isaac, he pulled the distraught lad inside. Hurry, we must flee, Isaac sobbed. They killed my parents and all my brothers and sisters. That night, Isaac and the Faree family stole through the darkness, taking only the barest necessities, and fled across the river to Germany, which was primarily Lutheran. There, Isaac stayed with the Lafitte family until 1708, which they eventually migrated to the United States of America and settled in Lancaster County in Strasburg, PA. So, again, how important is the Word of God to us this morning? To what measure will we go to protect it, to ensure that we can keep it in our homes? To what measure will we go to seek the treasure chest with lots of treasures just waiting to be uncovered? Do we dig deep? Is it precious to us? Do we hold it dear? God's word, like Psalm says, God's word is a lamp unto my feet, a light to my path. Is that what the Bible is to us this morning? It's a light to our feet that lights up our path as we read, as we study. Matthew 6:24 says, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. We see in the story that the Bible was in plain sight on the table when the soldiers came in and slaughtered the family. The soldiers were seeking, were searching for the Bible, but they didn't find it as they were searching at the wrong place. They were not searching for it in the loaf of bread. So what are we seeking for this morning? What are we searching for this morning? Are we searching or seeking for the right thing? Or is our minds choked with the cares of this life? What seed are we sowing? Is our lives in order so that it can receive the seed, so that the seed can bring forth much fruit? That Jesse preached a couple weeks ago on some 30-fold, some 60-fold, some 100-fold. The message here this morning, I titled the message, Seek First the Kingdom of God. That came out of last week. We were, as a family, just singing out of the chorus book. And the song, Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Man shall not live for bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and the door shall be opened unto you. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Seek, ask, knock. Point number one is seek. I looked up the word in the 1848 dictionary, the Webster dictionary. Seek means to go in search or quest of, to look for, to search by going from place to place, to inquire for, to ask for, to solicit. to endeavor to find or gain by any means, to seek peace or judgment, to endeavor to promote it or practice it. Psalms 111:2, to seek out God's word, to endeavor to understand them. To make search or inquiry, to endeavor to make discovery. Seek out the book of the Lord, according to Isaiah 34:16, to endeavor. Matthew 6:33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. When I see the word but, I need to look at what it's talking about. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. So let's look at Matthew 6. Start at verse 19. Lay not up for yourself treasures upon earth, where moths and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourself treasures in heaven, where neither moths nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through or steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. The light of the body is the eye. If therefore that eye be single, the whole body shall be full of light. But if the eye be evil, the whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor for your body what ye shall put on. Is not life more than meat, the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap or gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not better than they? Which of you by taking thought can add one cubit to his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not clothe ye, O ye of little faith? Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth what ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. So Jesus is instructing us to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And then all these things that I read about, like not being anxious, taking no thought for tomorrow or next week or whenever, but to seek the Lord first, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. You see here the fowls of the air, they sow not, they reap not, but God takes care of them. How much more shall he not take care of us, his children, if we, and also, wherefore, if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast in the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek, but your heavenly Father knoweth what you have need of these things. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. King Hezekiah sought the Lord when the king of Syria came against him. In 2 Kings 19:14-19. And Hezekiah received a letter of the hands of the messengers and read it. And Hezekiah went up in the house of the Lord and spread it before the Lord. And Hezekiah prayed before the Lord and said, O Lord God of Israel, which dwellest between the cherubims, thou art God, even thou alone. Of all the kingdoms of the earth, thou made heaven and earth. Lord, bow now thy ear and hear. Open, Lord, thy eyes and see, and hear the words of Sennacherib, which has sent him to reproach the living God. Of a truth, Lord, the king of Assyria has destroyed the nations of their lands. They have cast down their gods into the pharaohs, for they are no gods, but the works of men's hands. Wood and stone, therefore, have they destroyed them. Now, therefore, O Lord our God, I beseech you, save us, save thou us out of his hand, and all the kingdoms of earth may know that thou art the Lord God, even thou only. And then, as we read the rest of the story, the angel of the Lord came down and smote 185,000 of the Syrian army. Because God's name was being looked down upon. So again, the bread of life to be eaten. Do we devour God's word? Do we seek him through his word? Why not? After many of Jesus' disciples went back because of the hard saying that Jesus told them after he said that my flesh is meat indeed and my blood is drink indeed, many of the disciples went away and Jesus asked him, will you also go away? And Simon Peter answered him and said, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. John 6. Is that our testimony here this morning? Where else will we go to? Thou, Lord Jesus, have the words of eternal life. Thou only will we seek. There is no life in anything else. Sin has pleasure for a season, but afterward it brings discouragement, unfulfilled life, it brings death. I know many of us have been there. We have experienced the pleasures of sin for a season. But afterwards, there was no life there. It brought discouragement. It brought a commitment to do better the next weekend, only to fall again in the same trap that we were in before. There was no life in sin. But it only brings discouragement, unfulfilled life, and death. But Jesus Christ, He is life. He is the bread of life. He has the words of eternal life. Seek him while he may be found. Jesus said that whosoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has life. In John 6, it also says, Jesus said, I am the bread of life. So how important is the bread of life? How important is Jesus as the bread of life? How important is the word of God? John 1 says, in the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. So Jesus is the word. And Jesus said, I am the bread of life. So in essence, Jesus, the word is as the bread of life as well. So are we devouring? Are we eating that bread? Are we seeking him? Are we walking with him in such a way? We all know what it means when we lose something and we seek for it. There have been times that we lost maybe our car key. And we forsook everything else to find that key, because knowing that there was no way we were going to go home unless we find that key. So we searched for it. Everything else didn't matter anymore because we needed to find that one object. So when we seek for something, do we seek until we find? Like the story of the lamb that was lost and the shepherd leaving the 99 in the fold and seeking until he found that lamb. And also the woman that lost her piece of money, swept the house and searched the house until the money was found. Then we also read about the prodigal son leaving home. And when he came back, his father was seeking for him and found him. C.H. Spurgeon puts it this way: what is it that we are to seek? The text says, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God." God has set up his kingdom in this world, inside the kingdom of men. There is a kingdom of God wherein life rules. It is another kind from all other earthly kingdom. For Christ said, "My kingdom is not of this world." It is a pure, higher, truer, more durable kingdom than any Caesar has ever been able to set up. Our desire should be, first of all, to enter into the kingdom of God, the kingdom of new life, the kingdom of perfect liberty, the kingdom of faith in Christ, the kingdom of union in Christ, the kingdom of the power of the Spirit of God. Have we all entered in? If not, let us seek that kingdom immediately. Before we seek our own door, let us seek first this kingdom of God. May we take up our citizenship in it and become loyal subjects to the great King. The way of admission into the kingdom is, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. As many as received him, to them he gave power to become the sons of God, even to him them that believe on his name. Seek thus to enter the kingdom of God. So it's our desire, first and foremost, to seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness. We'll also look at some of the Old Testament verses on seeking. I'll just quickly go through them. You don't have to look them up. 1 Chronicles 16:10. Glory be to his holy name. Let the heart of them rejoice that seek the Lord. In verse 11, seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his face continuously. 1 Chronicles 22:19. Now set your heart and your soul to seek the Lord your God. Arise therefore and build his sanctuary of the Lord God, to bring the ark of the covenant of the Lord, the holy vessels of God, into the house that be built in the name of the Lord. 1 Chronicles 28:8-9. Now therefore in the sight of all Israel, the congregation of the Lord, and in the ordinance of our God, keep and seek for all the commandments of the Lord your God, that you may possess this good land, and leave it for an inheritance for your children after you forever. And thou, Solomon, my son, know thou the God of thy father, and serve him with a perfect heart, and with a willing mind. For the Lord searches all hearts, and understandeth all the imagination of the thoughts. If you seek him, he will be found of thee. But if thou forsake him, he will cast thee off forever. Seek him, and he will be found of thee. As you seek him, you will find him. 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray, and seek my face, and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, will forgive their sins, and will heal their lands. What a promise. If my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, will forgive their sins, and will heal their lands. We all want that, right? We all want to live in that way. We want to live in that that blessing of living in the land that's healed, living in instead of living in wickedness. 2 Corinthians 11:16, and after them out of the tribe of Israel, such as set their face to seek the Lord God of Israel came to Jerusalem to sacrifice the Lord God of their fathers. Second Corinthians 14:4, and commanded Judah to seek the Lord God of their fathers and do the law of the commandment. In Isaiah 55:6-7, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let them return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Our God, he will abundantly pardon if we seek him, if we forsake the wickedness and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Part of seeking is to read and to study God's Word. Like the family that baked the family Bible in the loaf of bread to preserve it because the Word was so precious, so it would not be destroyed. It's the Word of God. Is the Bible precious to us this morning? Is it a treasure chest that we dig, that we mine deep, and to take out, to seek and find those treasures? Point number two I have is study. 2 Timothy 2:15. It's a very familiar verse. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needest not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. But shun profane and vain babbling, for they will increase unto more ungodliness. And jump down to verse 19. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord nourisheth them that are his. And let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. So may we study to show ourselves approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his, and let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. 2 Peter 1:10. I'm going to start actually in verse 2. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. According to as this divine power has given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that has called us to glory and virtue, whereby has given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption which is in this world through lust. And besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they made you that ye should neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see far off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you shall never fall. Wherefore, making sure, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. And if you do these things, you should never fall. Point number three I have is walk in the light as he is in the light. 1 John 1. Starting verse 5. This then is the message we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie, and we do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sins. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, for his word is not in us. But what I wanted to look at primarily would be verse 5 through 7. This is the message that we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. We all know that, right? We know that God is light. We know that there's no darkness at all in God, right? And if we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. So in essence, if we're standing here saying that we walk with God, but we're walking in darkness, then we lie. We're not telling the truth. Because God is light, and there's no darkness at all in him. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sins. How much is all? Everything. All. If we walk in the light, as Jesus Christ, as God is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sins. We have that promise that as we walk with Christ, as we walk with God, he gives that promise that he will, as we walk in his light, he gives that promise that he will cleanse us from all sins. Everything. All. John 8:12. Then Jesus spake again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that follows me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. So Jesus is the light of the world. As we follow him, we shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. We all like light, right? Like Stephen mentioned, when the lights were turned out, that we appreciate electricity because of the light that it brings. We like to be able to see. We like to be able to see what we're doing. If we try to manufacture something in total darkness, that would be a very difficult chore, wouldn't it? But as we walk in the light, we can see what we're doing. We can walk in that light. but shall have the light of life. He that follows me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Psalms 119, I have quoted some of that before. If I can find it quickly. Oh, here it is. Psalms 119, 105. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Thy word is a light unto my feet and a light I think I got that mixed up a little bit. Let's look at it again. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. I get this illustration of walking the trail in the woods in total darkness, and there's just enough light to light the path. Just enough light to shine that you can see where to take the next step. The path is lit up just enough. It's a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. It lights up the path as you read the word. Is it no wonder? Like the story we read about as far as back in the 1600s, it's no wonder that the ones in power did not want the people to read the word, because they would see the light and see the corruption that they were walking in. And therefore, the light, the word brought that to light. In another place, Jesus said that we are the light of the world. We are the light of the world. The light that's within us shine forth to the world. Like Stephen had the illustration of the pot, the light that goes out into other and help others that are walking in hurt, in bitterness, or whatever it may be. That we can bring that light of Jesus Christ into their lives as well. In closing, I want to just read some from A.W. Tozer, The Pursuit of God. He asked some questions that also I thought was very, very good, even for my own life. He puts it this way: and now ask a few questions in love, because I seek your welfare. I do not wish to put these questions to you without putting them first in my own heart. Do you make it your primary business, your first concern, to seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness? Are the things of God, the honor of his name, the welfare of his church, the conversion of sinners, and the profit of your own soul your chief aim? Or does your family or your temporal concerns in some shape or other primarily occupy your attention? Again, do you make it your primary business, your first concern, to seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness? Are the things of God, the honor of his name, the welfare of his church, the conversion of sinners, and the profit of your own soul your chief aim? Or does your family or your own temporal concerns in some shape or other primarily occupy your attention? As I was looking at seeking first the kingdom of God, I was challenged myself as well in that. Do I look at God's word as something that's very needful to study, to seek God on? Or do the cares of this life just take my attention away? the things that we pursue, or the things that I pursue, is do I pursue God with all my heart, with all my soul, with everything I got? Or is there other things that grab my attention? So as I was preparing for this message, God spoke to my heart as well. The importance of seeking Him, the importance of reading God's Word, to study, to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Do we study that? Do we study the Word of God? Do we hold it dear to our hearts? I know we live in a country where we can have as many Bibles as you want. You can have whatever version you want. You can keep it wherever in the house you want. And you have no fear of anybody coming in and taking the Word of God away from you. But what would happen if one day that would change? Like it did in the story that I read about this morning, that they enjoyed 87 years of freedom. And the way I understand that edict that was signed by the previous king is before that there was civil wars going on between the Protestants and the Catholic. They were persecuting and killing each other because of the religion. And the king came along and signed that edict saying that there is a tolerance of religion. It doesn't matter what religion you are from. It doesn't matter if you're Catholic, Protestant, or Lutheran, or whatever religion you're from. There is a tolerance for each religion. So the king signed that into law, and therefore nobody had grounds anymore to persecute the person from a different religion until 87 years later, a different king rose up and did away with that edict, and persecution broke out afresh. So you can say there was 87 years of prosperity. People were able to worship God. They were able to build churches. They were able to seek Him with all their heart, soul, and mind. And then one day it changed, and persecution broke out. And they knew if they keep the Word of God in their house and don't convert to Catholic, their lives is at stake. It's not just a matter of if, but when. And the story goes on that the whole family was brutally murdered, except for their 16-year-old son. And I guess just with saying that is the Word of God important to us? Do we go to extreme measures to preserve it? Do we go to extreme measures to study it, to memorize it, to take it into our hearts where it cannot be taken away from us? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and then all these things shall be added unto you. Jesse.